Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday. We're live at Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Hope you're having a wonderful day to this point. Now we go and talk to one of my buddies. I go on his show quite a bit, and he is the host of the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. Soren Petro joins us now. Soren, what's up? How you doing?
I'm doing well. I just wish that, you know, for my walk-up music, I could have had Sabotage if we're going to go Beastie Boys.
Okay. All right. I like it. Certainly a good one. You were just at the press conferences with the Chiefs. What is life like post-Patrick Mahomes after he tears his ACL and will miss the remainder of the season, seeing 9 months, basically, of recovery?
You know, when you go to the meal after a funeral, and, you know, we're aware that, the loved one, the friend, the pal, the associate has passed. And, you know, people are kind of starting to move on. But, like, then somebody will make a joke. And then you're like, oh, should I be laughing here? Because, like, it is. We're all wearing black. Kind of like that. You know, like, oh, yeah, let's see what kind of eats and treats we got here moving forward. But we don't feel great. And we know we're not supposed to be smiling, certainly when the family comes in. So as the coaches come in, everybody has to be like, oh, today was assistant coaches day, where they bring all the, even beyond the coordinators, it's coordinator day with the assistants. They do that once a month begrudgingly and bring them out. And so, you know, it was kind of an awkward situation because it's been 10 years since the Chiefs weren't in the playoffs.
I know. And that's what's crazy to think about, of just this run they have been on. And look, the other thing is, not only is he hurt, but I think you know better than anybody, they have some holes they got to fill. I mean, these are things that I think they've been able to try and get away with for as long as they could. They've won Super Bowls. They haven't had the strongest roster at times. So now what is this offseason going to look like for, you know, that staff and that front office group of trying to not only get Patrick healthy but also get him some weapons and build around him again?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to hear you say that, because you're absolutely right. And it's a thing that the, you know, Chiefs fans have a hard time getting their arms around, even when they're winning, because – When you start carrying that heavy quarterback contract, and the Chiefs have chosen to pay a number of other people too, highest paid center in the league, highest paid guard in the league. Chris Jones, I think, is maybe still the highest paid defensive tackle in the league. If not, he's one of them. You know, Nick Bolton, one of the highest paid middle linebackers in the league. You start handing out all those contracts, and it gets tough to put everything else around him. And you lean more and more and more on 15 to get it done. And I think that's what's happened over this time. The roster is never going to be complete. Like, you know, hopefully for Titan fans, Cam Ward is going to be a superstar. And, you know, your best chance to win is in those first five, sometimes 6 years, with the way they backload deals, you know, before the quarterback gets expensive. But once he gets expensive, the roster will never be complete. It's always going to be about minimizing your weaknesses, maximizing your strengths. And the Chiefs have done a great job of that. Fans don't want to hear that, though. They want to bitch and complain about, you know, why aren't your receivers the best in football? Why don't you have a great edge rusher? How come you haven't found a left tackle? And the reality is, a lot of those positions aren't available after about pick 15 or 16, except for the rare diamond in the rough. And so the Chiefs have been dealing with the fact that you can't get those premium players at those premium positions, and kind of taping over it. And it finally all came together. It all finally came to a head this year. And so you are right. They have more holes to fill, I think, you know, they want to admit, and you know, that's why a lot of people tell you, oh, just lose these last three games, get higher in the draft. And so I don't think they're going to do that, but I do think you'll see an influx of as many of the young guys as they can realistically put out on the field.
We're talking to Soren Petro, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City.
Could you imagine if a football team came out and said, hey, for the next three games, we're going to lose?
No. I mean, right? I couldn't, and they can't. The coaches can't, and that's why. Look, I'm a firm believer in tanking, and anyone who doesn't just doesn't understand resource allocation, resource management. But you don't tank at the coach level. You tank at the general manager and ownership level. You just strip the roster down to where it can't win. The coaches have to go out and do everything they can to win with the players that they have. Now, I do think, you know, playing a veteran who's not going to be on your roster next year over a first-year player that's gaining experience, that's ridiculous. I mean, those orders need to be given. But no player, no coach is going to scheme down or not give a full effort, and you have to accept it. You know, you just, anyone who could have surgery that could be put off for 3 weeks, you go ahead and get them the surgery now, and they're out. You know, you make those decisions that are not, you know, not outright, you know, just trying to lose while you're on the field. You just take the talent off the field for legitimate reasons.
I saw the injury report yesterday for the Chiefs. There's like 45 guys on that thing. I mean, there's a lot of guys on their injury report. I mean, they're going to bring like maybe 30 to Nashville on Sunday. I kid. But my goodness, I mean, this is going to be a Chiefs team coming here that's depleted.
Yeah, Chiefs Hall of Fame center Tim Grunhart comes on with me each week, and we were talking about how many guys went down in the game and then came back in, right? Like, that's not what NFL players want to do. Like, it's kind of a badge of honor. You don't lay on the ground. And you had multiple guys that were down a couple of times. They'd go out, they'd come back in. That's the old question. Are you injured or are you hurt, right? What's going on? If you're hurting, get up, let's go. We got to play. But when there's nothing to play for and you feel the season slipping away, it gets harder to fight through it. The pain just seems to be more painful. And I think you've seen that with the Chiefs. So I think everybody's banged up now. I think the gamesmanship of acting like we're 100%, everybody's healthy, has gone away. They're not trying to do that. They're being a little bit more, you know, I don't think they ever, you know, are completely lie about the injury report. But if you're bruised up, might as well throw the guy on there, because I think they are giving guys more time off. There were more did not practices than there would have been in a week that they were still contending. And so I think that does mean that they will come in a little bit less prepared in this game, because they're doing everything they can to make sure guys are healthy and certainly not urging anybody to push through something that is a real problem.
Look, I like Gardner Minshew. I think he's a great backup. I also think he could be a body double for Morgan Wallen. They look exactly alike. If he goes down, who goes in? You, Andy Reid? Who's the backup?
They will elevate a kid named Chris Oladokun, and he has been within the organization for like the last 3 years. He's on the practice squad. He's gone through training camp. He knows the offense. He is, you know, if he would get in there, he is much more of a scrambling type quarterback. He's a guy that's going to use his legs and do those kind of things. He has an arm. He came from a small school, but they have, like I said, they keep bringing him back year after year. So they think there's something there. And, you know, we've been asking Andy Reid, would you try to get some snaps for Chris Oladokun? Because we haven't seen him play in a regular season game. And he said, it's Gardner Minshew's time. Gardner Minshew will play. But I wouldn't be completely shocked. We also heard Andy Reid on Monday, you know, after the Chiefs had said, well, Patrick Mahomes has an ACL injury. We said, okay, just ACL. There's nothing else. He said, we put out ACL. We're not trying to hide anything. And 6 hours later, they admit that there was LCL damage as well. So, you know, I don't call it lying. I don't really understand the reason for that. But coaches don't always tell the truth. Let's put it that way. So if Chris Oladokun got in, I wouldn't be completely stunned, but at least what Andy said this week was it would be Gardner Minshew as long as he can go.
Is this the swan song, these next three, for Travis Kelce?
I think so. I mean, I you know, if he wants to play, look, I don't think the Chiefs want to see him play in another uniform. I don't think Kelce wants to play in another uniform. But I also don't think you can justify, even though he bounced back and is better this year than he was last year, because I think he put a lot more into the offseason, you found the love of your life and had a chance to travel all over the world two off seasons ago. More power to you. There is more to life than football. Trust me, I get it. But he put more into it. He's better this year, but he's certainly going through all the actions that would make you think that it's over. The Chiefs cannot justify paying him $18 million a year. If he wants to come back for $5 million, which I don't think he wants to, not when he's getting, what, $10 million a year to do a podcast, I don't see that happening. And, you know, he likes the limelight. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, he Hollywooded in front of his locker wearing the uniform a couple of weeks ago, sitting there for 15 minutes. And then when it came time to talk, said, see you guys, which I don't really appreciate. I think that's Bush League. But, you know, he's made it clear that, you know, everybody see how thoughtful I am, how introspective I am, how I'm soaking this all in. He's certainly playing it up like it's his final go-round.
Sarim Petro is with us, 810 WHB, host of the program 2 to 6 in the afternoon. So Matt Nagy is somebody that, you know, I kind of started thinking about after I went on your show earlier this year after the Titans and made a coaching change. He obviously has the connection with Mike Borgonzi, who is with the Chiefs. What can you tell us about him if he were to become the next head coach of the Titans, and why a second go at being a head coach could be beneficial?
You know, I think I'll say this. Like, there's no doubt that this year has hurt his candidacy, right? Like, they're not playing at as high a level. They've had some offensive issues. But I think, you know, to go back to what you said earlier, the defense of this year is that, They have been picking very low, and, you know, their number one, their highest drafted wide receiver, Xavier Worthy, who is very fast, but he weighs 160 pounds. I mean, we see the limitations of what that means. Rashi Rice was suspended for six games this year. Their running backs are a seventh-round pick and a guy that nobody wanted on their roster when they started the season in 2024. Their offensive line has taken on all kinds of injuries. They were on their, I think, what, their fourth and fifth tackles last week and almost beat the Chargers. They were on a backup guard as well. So they have dealt with a lot of adversity. So I would not look at this year and be like, why are we hiring this guy? I would look at the overall body of work. I would look that he knows the Andy Reid plan. I think Andy Reid's underrated brilliance is his calendar from the day the season ends to the day the next season starts. I think he is fantastic in that stretch. Matt Nagy has that. And I think if you go back and look at his tenure with the Bears, you'll see a guy who went to the playoffs twice with Mitch Trubisky. I mean, he was given Mitch Trubisky. And I think early on people wanted to say, well, he had a highly drafted quarterback and he couldn't do a lot with him, except for Mitch Trubisky has done literally nothing since then, and Matt Nagy took a pedestrian quarterback into the playoffs. And so that, to me, is the real measure. You know, Andy Reid's greatness, people are going to talk about everything he did here in Kansas City and with Patrick Mahomes, but really the measure of his greatness is look at what Andy Reid did when he didn't have a Hall of Fame quarterback, and look at what Bill Belichick did when he didn't have a Hall of Fame quarterback. Donovan McNabb was good, but he was not great. And at 32 years old, when he went to play for Mike Shanahan, and then to the Vikings, he did absolutely nothing. He went to the playoffs with a refurbished Michael Vick. He went to the playoffs with Jeff Garcia. He has done it with quarterbacks that aren't superstars. He took Alex Smith, who, let me tell you, is the most painful two-minute quarterback I've ever seen in my life. but he took him to the playoffs year after year after year. And Matt Nagy has all of that knowledge within him and how to coach a quarterback. So if Cam Ward's a superstar and he can be most of what Andy Reid is, then you'll be a championship team. If Cam Ward is Alex Smith, then I think you'll be a playoff team. You know, it all ultimately is going to come down to getting it right at the quarterback position. And this guy knows what it is to coach a quarterback, knows how to develop a quarterback. And I think he also knows how to say, like, we can get better and not be afraid to move on from a quarterback, because he was in Kansas City when they did that with Alex Smith. So, you know, his resume is very good. It won't be sexy. People will be upset, but going and getting a guy who's been the hot coordinator for a team that's got 11 Pro Bowlers has not usually worked. Guys, you know, you're going to have to come in and coach a roster that is in development. Otherwise, you wouldn't be looking for a new coach, and I think Matt Nagy has that experience.
Does Steve Spagnuolo get another crack at it, or has everybody pretty much accepted he's just a really, really, really good defensive coordinator?
You know, he may just be that, but he certainly deserves another crack at it. His time with the Rams, you know, he had Sam Bradford with the organization, and that was when the rookie quarterbacks were making the most money in the NFL. So he had a bad cap situation because he had a quarterback that was always hurt and didn't get to play with him. And it bottomed out, and I think the Rams were a dysfunctional organization at that time, and it ultimately bottomed out. But he, too, will bring that Andy Reid calendar. He is a brilliant defensive coach. I can tell you that his schemes and his ability to mold towards his talent is excellent. He should be a coach, but the fact that he's in his 60s and, you know, doesn't have the greatest first go-round is going to mean that he's going to have to be somebody that they double back on. Like, okay, we waited for the hot young offensive coordinator. We didn't get him. We didn't get the second hot young coordinator. All right, who can we get that's just a good football coach? Then I think a team will come around. I don't see him getting a job unless 7-8 jobs are open, because I don't think he's going to be anybody's 1, 2, or 3, and I think that's unfortunate because I think his resume is without reproach.
Let me ask you this about coaches. You know, for a long time here, you know, we covered Jeff Fisher in Nashville. Once he stopped being a coach, he's become a friend of ours, and he's a funny dude, right? You never saw that side of him as a coach. Did you have any idea Andy Reid was that funny? I mean, these commercials that he did with Mahomes, you see the side of Andy Reid that nobody, I think, has ever seen outside of probably that bubble. Did you have any idea he was that funny and that likable?
Yes, because of the way people talk about him, and how much, you know, they appreciate him as a person. Like, everyone that's been around him in the organization, they talk about the things, Andy did this for me and Andy did that. So you knew he was a caring person. You know, he's an intelligent guy. He's always willing to poke fun at his weight. So he has a sense of humor. He'll talk about, you know, eating cheeseburgers and that kind of things. I was really surprised when he did the commercials because I always thought that he would be like, you know, he's so all about business. And
right.
I was surprised when, you know, I don't think he wants his players doing a ton of side stuff. So when he was doing that, I'm like, wow, this is really stepping out. But I can tell you, I've also seen a side of Andy. So I think people have learned that. The side of Andy that I don't think people have seen is the side that's definitely serious. I mean, I had, you know, and the more success he's had, the less access we get. But I used to get 30 minutes with him at the end of the season and at the beginning of the season before it started. And there were times where, you know, he will give you a death stare. You ask him a question, you know, he doesn't necessarily like where it's going, and he will flat out lean into you, stare at you, and tell you, this is how it is. And that's the part that was always shocking to me, because he is affable. He is kind of grandfatherly the way he looks up there, but he is definitely serious, and he is not a man to be taken lightly at any time.
Was it fun, all the Taylor Swift craziness 2 years ago?
Fantastic. I mean, how could you not enjoy, you know, having a circus going on while you're playing football at the highest level? It was amazing to have security details, you know, not just guarding the field, but guarding, you know, the entryway, and people telling you about, oh, I was trying to walk to my seats, and all of a sudden, you know, 10 cops, you know, walled us off to where we couldn't cut across, and here comes Taylor Swift walking by. I mean, the fans loved it. They loved sitting down there watching her walk out of the tunnel where the players come in, or drive in on a golf cart, get a picture, snap a shot, seeing her up in the press box. You know, yeah, it you know, look, the Chiefs were already becoming rock star status. They'd already won a championship before she came to town, but it made him, you know, a global centerpiece. And yeah, it was really cool. It was a fun era. It'll be missed, right? It's probably run its course. It's probably the right time, right? If you're the last guy to leave the party, you stayed too long. But if you leave the party while still kind of rocking, you have great memories. I think that's how, if Travis Kelce steps away, the Taylor Swift time will be remembered. The party, you know, they left. That's when the peak of the party ended, but they left at just the right time.
Love it, man.
Very good stuff, Seren. Appreciate the time, as always, and we'll see what happens this weekend between the Chiefs and the Titans.
Chase, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. Best of luck to the Titans with the rebuild.
Thank you very much. Seren Petro joining us here on the program, host of the program on 810 WHB in Kansas City, 2 to 6. Does a great job there, and always enjoy appearing on the 2-Minute Drill. Which he has. We'll react to some of that and more coming up next. Chase and Big Joe live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines on 102.5 The Game.